Hi, everyone. My name is Alex, and I'm a software engineer at Freedom of the Press Foundation. Today, I'm going to discuss about the subject of removing traces from documents. Real quick, what we're going to see today. I want to discuss mostly about what are the known de-anonymization vectors we are aware of that may be in documents. I'll show you some tools that can help you anonymize those documents and remove traces from them. And of course, we're going to see limitations because the subject of making removing traces from your activity from documents is actually really hard. If I can speak up, I'll try. And then finally, due to the limitations, we will try to see how we can dampen those, how we can cross this gap between the technical and the practical in order to overcome, let's say, these limitations and help people who want to stay anonymous with some practical advices. Unfortunately, I'm not going to provide some sort of novel way of removing sophisticated metadata and trade or tracing schemes that may exist in documents. It's not going to be also like a deep course in metadata removal. It's mostly going to be like what's out there, what tools exist to help there, and some extra advices. So, let's jump right in to the anonymization vectors. What I'm going to show you today is, what I'll try to do is to categorize some of the vectors that are in the literature. Hopefully, it will be a good categorization, an extensive one. We will focus on this talk solely on what is inside a document, because the subject of anonymously obtaining a sensitive document and sharing it with someone else is a whole different subject. It leaves traces outside of the document, and we're not going to talk about that. Terminology, in case you are not aware of. We're going to talk about OCR at some point. OCR is optical character recognition, and it's the process of retrieving text from images. And we're going to talk about flattening, which is making a document, a page, let's say, of a document that has complex components, making it like a flat image. We're going to talk about metadata, but metadata are just the tip of the iceberg. There are a lot of many more de-anonymization vectors. And if during this presentation you find an example that doesn't fall under one of those categories I will provide, please speak up. We would like to know about it. I'm going to start with a very simple example, a very known one. A Vice reporter at some point took a picture of McAfee. He was hidden somewhere in the South America and forgot to scrub the metadata of the location while he uploaded it, and that way McAfee was traced. So lesson number one, okay, sure, scrub the metadata from simple documents like files and audio. Now, scrubbing the metadata is not that simple when you encounter complex document types. In this particular case, Google at some point tried to anonymously do some sort of litigation against eBay in Australia, and the Australian Justice of the Department of Justice or whatever wanted to keep their identity anonymous, but they forgot that the title of the Word document that they received was also within the PDF as some sort of metadata. And this was probably hard to figure out. So a bit of a foolproof solution there is to just flatten the document in order to remove those kind of embedded metadata. And when we talk about removing traces via some way, a common way is to do it with reductions. And reductions are surprisingly, or not surprisingly, very easy to get wrong. This is a famous case where Sony did a filing and they wanted to reduct how many millions they spent on their games, etc. And they used a black Sharpie to do that. But whenever you try to do reductions with something that is not opaque, And that applies, that of course applies to the Sharpie, but it also applies to other digital tools you're using, your brush in your photo editor, some sort of spray or some mosaic effect. All those things, if they're not opaque, they are bound to be forensically retrieved, the text underneath. And also, that's like one of the types of bad reduction. There is also the very common bad reduction where you just take a PDF, you add an opaque black bar on top of it, and you forgot that it's just like a layer on top of the text, and therefore that text can't be retrieved again. So the mitigation here is to make sure you always use, of course, opaque black bars to remove sensitive information, and make sure to flatten it afterwards, the document. So as you can see, I keep using the word flattening. It's an important defense against those types of things. Now, there is another way to leave traces in a document, and that's with physical watermarks. In this particular case, I'm showing the watermarks that were in Reality Winners documents. Reality Winner was a US whistleblower where she gave some documents to The Intercept. The journalist from The Intercept gave them, showed them to the FBI, and then Reality Winner was caught. Some people theorize that Reality Winner was de-anonymized due to those printer tracking codes that you see in blue there. In practice, though, and that's why I will not talk about the OPSEC failures here, Reality Winner was one of the six people who had access to this particular document, and the only person who contacted the Intercept journalist through her work device. So even if we managed to remove those types of traces, and my suggestion is to use OCR in order to just get the text and put it to another document. You can never trust printed media. Even if you do that, though, there's bound to be some traces outside of the document itself. But unfortunately, we won't talk about that. And now there's another category that is also like pretty known. It's the subject of digital watermarks. Besides physical watermarking, there are certain ways where, and that's on the left, you see what a company advertises to certain customers, that you can embed somehow in a steganographic manner certain tracking codes in pictures, in various types of documents. For images, it's like pixels. For common text, it can be zero width Unicode characters, small differences in the kerning of the font. It can be lots of very discrete stuff. And also, besides those very cool paper-worthy stuff on the left, there is also like the plain old techniques that have been used since in Cold War or whatever, where you just craft a document and you create different permutations with different maybe facts in order to, and you give them to various people, and when something is leaked, you can trace it back to the person who leaked it. And although we can do some stuff for removing like the left category, for instance, in order to make sure that you don't deal with zero-width characters and small changes in the document, you can probably OCR the document and do a double translation, translate your document to a separate language and then back to your own, because some people use misspellings in order to do that, or a different type of phrasing. You can never be able to remove like just plain old fabricated facts that may be in the document. So we're starting to see some categories where there's like a limitation that the tool can never protect you. There is also another interesting category, a more active type of tracing, which is canary tokens. Those are some sort of code that is embedded in the document, and this code will be able to, let's say, phone home whenever the document is opened. Now, most sane viewers will silently ignore those types of coding that in PDFs, etc. But Microsoft Office will happily ask to enable macros. And Adobe Acrobat, as you see in the left screen, will ask you if you want to connect to some random URL. In this case, it's canarytokens.com. But if it was a legit URL, it's a high percent possibility that some person would just click on it, and their IP and operating system, etc., will be revealed, and the fact that they access the document will be revealed to the source of the document. So a good defense here is to immediately flatten the document before once you obtain it. And then there is the subject of fingerprinting, which is different from watermarking. This category has to do with not just the document itself, but also the equipment you had in order to create that document. And it turns out that your phone camera, your microphone, has some unique characteristics that make it easier to associate different copies of different pictures, let's say, you take. So we call it fingerprinting because unlike watermarking, where you just need one thing in order to trace it back to you, with fingerprinting you need like a match for, like, if you leave a fingerprint on the scene, you also need somehow to match it with a person. So in that particular case, if you take for instance a photo of some sort of document, and then you, with the same phone, you upload your family photo, in theory there is the same characteristic in there that can trace it back to you. So the advice there, and we are again moving somewhere where the tools are limited, is to use disposable equipment. And because your writing style as well can be fingerprinted, and some people have been found due to this way, it's best to use Common Cords or do this double translation trick. And again, in this particular case, there's no way to be 100% safe that the document you create will not have something from you. And finally, besides the equipment, besides the thing you're capturing, there's also something that can seep into the picture or the video or the audio, is the environment factor. And in this particular case, you're seeing the iris of a Japanese pop idol who was taking some selfies and posting them on social media. An attacker, a stalker, managed to zoom into her iris and find out her surroundings and trace her route to a particular train, and therefore he made an attack in this particular case. So in order to be safer in this regard, the suggestion is to avoid any types of surfaces that may reflect the environment, or avoid locations, especially in case of audio, where you cannot just do soundproofing something, where it can be associated with you. But again, there's no way to be 100% safe. Now, we saw some categories. If you have anything that doesn't apply to those categories I mentioned, I'll be happy to learn after the talk or as a question. Now we're going to show some tooling. EXIF tool, probably most of you know, it's a tool that can view metadata about file types. It can also remove metadata as well, and it can work with lots of files besides images, which is a de facto thing. Here's how it does it with PDFs. You can see some metadata. We can see that we can remove the metadata. And then the end result is something that doesn't have any metadata in it. There is a warning, although the tool succeeded and although it seems that there are no metadata. And that warning is that actually EXIF tool does not remove any metadata in some file types. If you see here, this is a PDF. On the PDF on the left is the redacted one. In this particular case, EXIF tool just added its own section where it basically says there are no metadata on this file. And this is not good. EXIF tool, to their credit, of course, it's a very battle-tested tool, so of course there are written limitations in their website, but if you are doing something automatically, or if you're not like super aware of every limitation that is in there, you may just miss it. Now, for something more professional, there is Math2Alter. It's an open source library. It supports lots of documents. It has a very thoughtful threat model about the things it can anonymize and whatnot. There is a GUI option as well, but unfortunately, it's not maintained right now. What it does is that it takes it removes metadata from some file types, but it needs to flatten other file types in order to be 100% safe. And the end result is that you get back the exact same file that you provided in most cases where it's not flattened. So that's very useful if you want to work with the end result. And this is how Math2 does it. You can see it detects the metadata. It can remove them, and then it shows that there's nothing else left. However, because, as I said, it has a very thoughtful threat model, the author of Math2 claims that it's not 100% safe to remove complex metadata and then keep the original file, because there may be some things that you don't anticipate, the structure, some files, so there may be some update and then you miss some other type of metadata that's in there. So you need to exercise some caution with tools that are not flattening the documents. And now the tool that this presentation was like mostly about, it's DangerZone. It supports lots of documents, but unfortunately it does not support audio and video. The main idea is to sanitize malware, but removing the metadata, because of the fact that the way it works is that you pass the document, in a container, it breaks it down into pixels, and then outside the container, it reconstructs the original document as a PDF from these pixels. So through this process, there is no malware, but also there are no metadata from the original document. As the end result, though, is that it's completely flattened, so you cannot easily edit it or anything. However, you can OCR it. It's maintained by Freedom of the Press Foundation, and disclaimer, I work on this project. That's the CLI option for DangerZone. As you can see, you can pass the document, and you can also pass the OCR language in order to create a layer over the text. Now, quick summary. We have seen that metadata removal makes files editable. However, it doesn't remove every de-anonymization vector. We have seen two main tools for removing traces from your data, DangerZone and Math2. Math2 produces editable files and it's definitely faster. DangerZone tries to be safe and flattens everything but does not provide something that's easy to work with. And I have applied the tools and the categories that I mentioned before, and we can see that there are clear limitations, even in the case of DangerZone, where the user cannot be fully protected. And in order to be protected, though, we need to help them a bit more. And the X's that you saw before is like the gap where the tooling cannot actually help you, and you need to do something extra yourself. So tools that flatten documents are a good first step. You cannot remove everything. However, we know that whistleblowers and activists will still try to do to share documents that are sensitive and try to improve society this way. And we need to help them in this situation. We cannot just say that those are limitations and you cannot do anything else. So, what we need to offer in this particular case, it's something that goes beyond tooling. It's something that goes beyond the technical stuff. And it's basically plain old harm reduction. It's basically advices that you can give to those people that go besides tooling and can help them avoid some common issues that we know from the literature. There are bound to be risks, and this is what they're doing is, at some point, they're bound to get caught by some law enforcement because there are lots of mistakes that you can do along the way. But at least we should be able to educate them and so that they can make an informed choice about what they're doing. And I'm going to go very quick from some types of documents and some examples, some clear advice that we can give to whistleblowers and activists. So for audio and video, we do not support it. The internet does not support it. So prefer using MAT2. If it was a recording, if you record yourself, please use disposable equipment and locations that are away from you. If it's accessible only to you, please be aware of digital watermarking and prefer not to go public with that document. And as always, remember, it's not 100% safe to share. For images, again, disposable equipment. If it's accessible only to you, it may be digital watermark, so prefer not to go public. If it's a print or a scan, try to use the original files. Else, again, prefer not to go public. And with reductions, make sure you aid them with black opaque bars before you do anything with any tool. And finally, for documents, because documents convey less information than pictures, we have a bit more of a leeway there. If it's a printed material, make sure to OCR it or retype it manually. Reductions, black bars again. If it's something that's accessible to you, you can, again, it may be watermarked, and may be watermarked in ways where the facts may be completely fabricated and can be traced back to you. So that's an issue. However, this does not mean you don't need to do anything. At least try to OCR it, to remove it, any zero-width characters, etc. And prefer and maybe do some double translation. And for writing the documents, just remember to use common words. Do the double translation quick. And as always, you may be fingerprinted, and in that case, prefer not going public if it's like your document. And again, and this is something everyone needs to remember, there's no 100% safe way to do this risky thing, but you need to be educated. So that's it for me. Thanks a lot for watching this talk. And here are some links where you can learn more about the project. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Your comments about printing, I wasn't sure, was that referring to like if you print to a PDF, so print to a digital format? And then what is actually written out? Is it just some sort of unique identifier, or is there more information than that?
So the question was, what do we mean about printed material? I'm referring to printing in a physical material, as in a typical printer. And the thing that goes out, originally it was some tracking dots. In modern times, you cannot even see it. It may be much more difficult.
So if you print to a PDF, is that not flattening it out?
If you print, you mean...
Say you just choose print to PDF.
Yeah. The question is if you're printing a PDF to a physical material or if you do the print to PDF thing.
Just print to PDF. Is that creating a flat version?
Yeah. If it's creating a flat version of a web page, for instance, no, in that particular case, it's not a flat version because PDF can contain complex file types in there as well. They may still remain some there. Can you repeat the project name, please?
Duckling.
Yeah. So you're asking if it's...
So this project allows you to get a PDF, a Word document, even an image where you can have efficient text, for example. So you would have a description of the image. So in that case, you can keep the original files by having a text version that is totally saved. You can save it in the JSON format or just a .txt or whatever. And it would be in Markdown, so you keep the structure of the file. So it would be pretty easy, because that doesn't contain any metadata, it's just a text file.
Okay, that's very interesting. Is it something that runs locally in that case?
I can run it locally.
Okay. Then I guess that would be an interesting option as well. Please.
Did you think about reverting it to the PostScript and then reverse to PDF? It won't be easier. It also takes an image. paper in the PDF and revert to the whole form just like before.
Yeah, so there are some more complex ways to deal with that in order to get back, like some. Oh yeah, sorry. If the question was if it makes sense to, if you have a PDF, for instance, to convert it to PostScript and then convert it back to PDF, and in that case, removing the metadata. Sure, maybe that's a way to do that. I'm not sure if it removes everything. I don't know, for instance, what happens with images that are in the PDF if those are, the metadata of those images are removed as well. What happens with audio recordings, videos that may be in some PDFs? You can embed lots of things there. But the point is, I didn't stress it out that much. The point is that these tools should be used by people who are not technical. They should be used by people who use Windows, Mac OS. In our case, it's just a GUI application, and it needs to work with Office documents. So we do the exact same thing everywhere, and we do not take any chances of like what may leak or what may not.
Sorry, that was the last question. Thank you very much.
Thanks everyone.